Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you. We bow down to you. We thank you for your living word, and we thank you for the opportunity to see such a variety of instruction, such a variety of recommendations from you, Holy Spirit, in convicting us today of sin and its consequences as we look at Psalm 38. So may we receive what you would have for us in this, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Psalm 38 is called a penitential psalm. It is a psalm of repentance. And it's a psalm that brings out the consequences of sin. It seems like to me, one of the great tragedies in our nation and in the world, really, is the emphasis on sin in terms of being something that's really good and really exciting and really has no consequences. In the world of entertainment and advertising and so forth, we never see anything about the consequences of sin, such as drug use. We don't see the years spent in trying to break drug habits and people dying at an early age of drug use. We don't see the consequences really of alcohol. Alcohol is just promoted in every, you know, sporting event and so forth as the make you really, this is the beer to drink or this is the wine to drink or whatever it is. And yet we don't have the consequences of so many lives destroyed by alcoholism. We see the consequences of abortion and all, and we're so against that, and yet we are so promoting sex in every single corner of the universe, it seems, today. The breaking of the sin of premarital sex and so forth is just over the top, and we see the result of it. But we see in this psalm, David writing about his sin, and we don't know exactly what it is. To me, it sounds like a sexually transmitted disease sin, possibly, but we don't know that. But it's a sin, and he is really grieving over it, and he is talking about the consequences of it. The psalm is still read on Yom Kippur, the Feast of Atonement in the nation of Israel. It's believed that nationally they see themselves structured in this somewhat, believing that their history was reflected in their idolatry and so forth because of the way God dwelt with them. So let's begin. I want to read this first. It's 22 verses. It is a didactic psalm, a teaching psalm. I don't know that it is an acrostic psalm. Often the 28 verses or 22 verses that stands for the Hebrew alphabet could be, but I don't know that that is. Verse 1. A psalm of David to bring to remembrance. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. For your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are full of inflammation, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pants, my strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it has also gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my relatives stand afar off. Those also who seek my life lay snares for me. Those who seek my hurt speak of destruction and plan deception all the day long. But I am like a deaf man, do not hear. And I am like a mute who does not open his mouth. Thus, I am like a man who does not hear and in whose mouth is no response. For in you, O Lord, I hope. You will hear, O Lord, my God. For I said, hear me, lest they rejoice over me. Lest when my foot slips, they exalt themselves against me. For I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare my iniquity, I will be in anguish over my sin. But my enemies are vigorous and they are strong, and those who hate me wrongfully have multiplied. Those also who render evil for good, they are my adversaries, because I follow what is good. Do not forsake me, O Lord my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Wow. Well, let's begin by singing this song. The lines in the first verse are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. So let's sing this song. Let's sing this song, O Come to the Altar.
Sing hallelujah.
Yes, indeed. Come to the altar. His arms are open wide. Well, as we look at the consequences of sin here in Psalm 38, verses 1 and 2, I think, speak of the spiritual consequences of sin. And then in verses 3 through 7, the physical consequences of sin. And in verses 8, 9, and 10, the emotional consequences of sin, and in 11 through 14, the relational consequences of brokenheartedness, estranged relationships, so forth, of sin. And then finally, in 15 to verse 15 through 22, we have the only hope is vertical. The only hope is finding the answer vertically in the Lord. For in you, O Lord, I hope. So that's where we will close the thoughts on the consequences here. Verse 1, a psalm of David to bring to remembrance. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Now for us parents, I know there must have been times, there certainly was in my case, where I would correct or chastise my children while kind of upset with what they had done, and I did it in anger, and that is not a good thing to do, is it? Now, God doesn't do that. He never chastises us in his anger. But David is praying to him like he would pray to us, I guess. Don't rebuke me in your hot anger. Cool down first, right? And then he says in verse 2, for your arrows pierce me deeply, your hand presses me down. So he felt the heavy hand of God upon him, and in effect like the arrows of God sticking him, penetrating deeply. So he kind of saying, Lord, take it easy. And then we move on to the physical consequences of his sin. In verse 3, there is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. So he's got something going on in his body, the physical consequences as a result of the sin. Verse 4, for my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. So he's feeling this tremendous physical pressure in a sense. He knows he's done wrong. He is aware of his sin. He says in verse 5, my wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. Oh, how foolish we are at times. Let's think of a fellow when his foolishness would go out and pick up a prostitute and contact a sexually transmitted disease. How foolish. It could be that David had done something like that. I don't know. Verse 6, I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. So he's just bent over physically with the mourning all day long. Verse 7, for my loins are full of inflammation and there is no soundness in my flesh. Painful running sores, loathsome soundness, no soundness, and that would sound like a sexual transmitted disease, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. Then there are emotional consequences of his sin. In verse 8, I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pants, my strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it has also gone. So the psalmist here, David, I say, is saying that his emotions are breaking down because of his sin. You know, sin just makes a mess. No life is ever made better by sin. Our spiritual health, so necessary in our lives, is ruined by sin. We need other spiritual healthy people around us. It's a good help for us. So that's part of the body, isn't it? It's just good to be with the body of Christ at times. And then we have verses 11 through 14, relational consequences, brokenheartedness, estranged relationships because of sin. Verse 11, my loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my relatives stand afar off. Sounds like the comforters of Job, doesn't it? Those also who seek my life lay snares on me. They who seek my hurt speak of destruction and plan deception all the day long. We can see here that sin leaves you vulnerable to your enemies. Satan loves to have a handhold or a foothold for some sin in your life. Verse 13, but I am like a deaf man, do not hear, and I am like a mute who does not open his mouth. Thus I am like a man who does not hear and in whose mouth is no response. Now this part can remind us of our Savior. Isaiah 53:7 reads, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. 1 Peter 2:23, who, when he was reviled, speaking of Jesus, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. So now David looks up. That's the only hope of looking up, looking vertically. That's the answer. My hope is in finding the Lord. He reads in verse 15, for in you, O Lord, Yahweh, I hope. You will hear, O Lord my God, O Adonai my Elohim. So he has all three names there of the Lord. But in you, Lord, I hope. He's in desperate straits. He has sinned. He's been foolish. He's paying the consequences in his physical body. He's suffering and describes it very vividly here. The only recourse that he has is to put his hope in the Lord, to cast himself upon the Lord, to place himself before the Lord, to confess his sin, and just seek the mercy of God and the help of God. My hope, Lord, is in you, that you will hear me. David basically is saying here, everything on the horizontal is a train wreck, but he lifts his head to the Lord. That is where he found hope. I pray that we are each constantly doing that. Verse 16, for I said, hear me, lest they rejoice over me, lest when my foot slips, they exalt themselves against me. His enemies plotting against him, the inference here is that the Lord will hear an answer. Verse 17, for I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me. He's repented, limping now. He's crippled in his pace. I cannot even walk, Lord, but I'm looking to you. Verse 18, for I will declare my iniquity. I will be in anguish over my sin. So he seems to be confessing his sin here. 1 John 1:9, we know that one well. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can't do it ourselves, but the door of repentance is open wide to all of us. Verse 19, but my enemies are vigorous and they are strong, and those who hate me wrongfully have multiplied. This could have been at the time of Absalom's rebellion. I don't know. That would certainly fit. but it could have fit a number of other times in his life as well. Verse 20, those also who render evil for good, they are my adversaries because I follow what is good. Now here he's saying I'm moving in a direction that my enemies hate. And then verse 21 and 22, verses 21 and 22, he sums it all up in a way. Do not forsake me, O Lord my God, be not far from me. For Jesus reminded us of the last verse in Matthew, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He will not abandon us. Verse 22, make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. David's plea, a prayer to the Lord. Hurry up, Lord, do not delay, make haste to help me. We pray that often, don't we? Lord, hurry, I'm going down. Do not delay, Lord, you are my salvation. So we see here in this psalm, humility of David. We see the spiritual consequences, the physical consequences, the emotional and the relational consequences, all because of sin. How we need to consider our lives, our sin in our lives, and the consequences of it. Well, we've got a few minutes to pray now. Let's go to the Lord as led by the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Well, as we're coming to the end of the hour, the 15th verse in today's psalm is, for in you, O Lord, I hope. Let's close in this song. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord, you are Lord of all. As you spoke through the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans after giving us your doctrine and even giving us a review of the nation of Israel, he said, I beg you or beseech you or urge you, therefore, brethren, how? By the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning, and it is our reasonable service to live godly, Lord. And we have seen this morning the reminder of the consequences of sin in our lives and in anyone's life, of course. But help us, help me not to see that consequence so much in others and so little in myself. So help me to look in the mirror in that regard, Lord, and to present my body by your mercies as a living sacrifice. Bless each one because they came, and may your will be done in each of our lives. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.